From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, talking about the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. And that's what we're talking about on the show today, life. The most important issue, the issue we can't afford to get wrong, and the major, and I believe, transformative conversation that is currently taking place across not only our state, but our country, and what it means for protecting the sanctity of human life. And this is all happening because of what's been taking place at state capitals across the country and our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about what Nebraska's role in this conversation has been, as well as a critical piece of pro-life legislation pending in the Senate right now that our own Senator, U.S. Senator Ben Sasse, is pushing for and calling for a vote this Monday. But first, a quick update on what's happening at our Nebraska Capitol, where we are now heading into day 18 of the 2019 legislative session. Committee hearings are underway, taking place every afternoon, because every bill must be given a committee hearing, and there are over 700 bills that were introduced this year. 700, well over 700. That's the most in any year since 2005. That's a lot to keep track of, and there are some really important pieces of legislation, some that need to pass and many that need to be defeated. Nebraska Family Alliance is committed to empowering people by providing the tools and resources you need to stay informed and take action, because in Nebraska, the people really are the second house, and we can't sit quietly on the sidelines. There's too much at stake. Being engaged starts with being informed. Violence against pregnant women, abortion pill reversal, truth in lottery advertising, school choice, religious freedom, and classifying faith-based counseling as child abuse. These are just some of the issues that will be debated this year. Make sure you are in the know. Visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and click on the Bill Tracker page to stay up to date on all of the latest developments on legislation impacting family, freedom, and life. And make sure you sign up for NFA's e-network to get our action alerts to stay informed and take action when it matters most. Policies endorse and enforce a belief system. Whose is it going to be? We get to decide. And it's critical that we do. Last week, we talked about the new abortion law in the state of New York allowing abortions up until birth, and the cheers and celebration that ensued by Democrat lawmakers in the state. The backlash and criticism was widespread, and now this week it's carried over to the state of Virginia, where a similar law was proposed, in which during a subcommittee hearing on the bill sponsor point blank said it would allow women to decide to have an abortion as they dilate. It literally in the moments right before giving birth, an abortion could take place. Listen to this exchange between Virginia Democrat delegate Kathy Tran and chairman of the subcommittee, Republican delegate Todd Gilbert.
So how late in the third trimester would you be able to do that?
You know, it's very unfortunate that our physicians, witnesses, were not able to attend today to speak specifically.
No, I'm talking about your bill. How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
I'm
talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay, but to the end of the third trimester.
Yep, I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So, where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would make.
I understand
that.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
Okay, so there you have it. Abortion up until literally the moment of birth for any reason, so long as a doctor says that it would impact the woman's mental health to continue the pregnancy. So the video of this exchange went viral last week, which led the Democrat governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, to not only go on the air and defend the law, but appear to support infanticide. This is what he said during a radio interview last week.
You're no exception. There was a very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure, and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you, first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
Okay, so what the governor of Virginia just said is that an infant could be delivered and then physicians and the mother could decide if it lives. It could be resuscitated if that's what the mother desires. They would have a conversation about it. And apparently we don't want the government involved at all on whether or not infants who are born alive are left there to die. Whether or not a little baby boy or girl, lives or dies is now represented in as being about choice. That is now apparently the extent to which choice in reproductive health care covers. Choosing whether or not to let a child that's been delivered stay alive. So let's remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about babies, innocent human babies, and the governor of Virginia has embraced what can only be described as infanticide. In the clearest of terms, saying live on the radio, quote, if a mother is in labor, the infant would be delivered, the infant would be kept comfortable, the infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired, and then a discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother. This is when our own senator from Nebraska, Ben Sasse, who is sponsoring the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, jumped into leading the national conversation condemning these recent remarks in the strongest possible terms. Senator Sasse released a statement eviscerating the governor of Virginia for his public comments on abortion, saying in the press release, quote, this is morally repugnant. In just a few years, pro-abortion zealots went from safe, legal, and rare to keep the newborns comfortable while their doctor debates infanticide. I don't care what party you're from. If you can't say that it's wrong to leave babies to die after birth, get the hell out of public office. Senator Sasse is not mincing words here, and he shouldn't be. After what happened in New York and what took place in Virginia and the horrifying comments of their governor, it's pretty clear that we need the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Senator Sasse's legislation, which is co-sponsored by dozens of Republican senators, would impose penalties on physicians who fail to provide medical care to infants born alive in botched abortion procedures. And sadly, it appears that this might face Democratic opposition. The House voted on a nearly identical bill in January of last year, and all but five Democratic representatives opposed that legislation. Let that sink in. But thank goodness Senator Sasse not only brought this bill, but is now seeking to expedite a vote on this important bill. Senator Sasse is using the Rule 14 process to fast-track consideration of the bill, as well as calling for a vote to pass the bill under unanimous consent on the Senate floor on Monday. This is a crucial vote happening this Monday. This is a big deal. This is what pro-life leadership looks like. Listen to the powerful remarks that Senator Sasse made on the Senate floor of the U.S. Capitol on Thursday. They need to be heard and shared widely.
This place fancies itself the world's greatest deliberative body. But we would be deceiving ourselves if we ignored the biggest debate that's been happening in America over the last 36 hours. A public elected official, the governor of one of the 50 states, has been defending a practice that is morally repugnant. The governor of Virginia has been defending a practice that is repugnant to civilized people across the entire world. Here's just one of the ugly nuggets from Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia. Quote, "If the mother is in labor, the infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated, if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physician and the mother." Let's be really clear about what we're talking about here. We're talking about fourth trimester abortion, or what anyone in the normal world calls infanticide. That's what we're talking about. And the governor of Virginia has been defending this all day yesterday and again today, going out and trying to equivocate and qualify and then double down and again say he wants to defend this practice, which is infanticide. Let's be clear what we're talking about. We're talking about killing a baby that's been born. We're not talking about some euphemism. We're not talking about a clump of cells. We're talking about a little baby girl who's been born and is on a table in a hospital or a medical facility, and then a decision or a debate would be had about whether or not you could kill that little baby. We're talking about the most vulnerable among us, and we have a public official in America out there again and again defending a practice. This is infanticide that we're talking about. This should be so far beyond any political consideration. We're talking about a little baby, a baby with dignity, an image bearer. We're talking about a tiny life that has done nothing wrong to warrant being left to die cold and alone on a table. Everyone in the Senate ought to be able to say unequivocally that killing that little baby is wrong. This doesn't take any political courage. And if you can't say that, if there's a member of this body that can't say that, there may be lots of work you can do in the world, but you shouldn't be here. You should get the heck out of any calling in public life where you pretend to care about the most vulnerable among us. There should be no politics here that are right versus left, or Republican versus Democrat. This is the most basic thing you could be talking about. We're talking about a little baby born alive, and we have a public official in America defending the idea, well, you could have a debate about killing her. That's why today I'm starting a dual-track legislative process to make sure that this body has a clear-eyed look at the issue before us, has a clear-eyed look at this atrocity, and to make sure that the 320 million men and women who are actually our bosses, to be sure that they have a clear-eyed look about what we stand for. Do we stand with those little vulnerable babies in desperate need of care and comfort and support, medical treatment, food? Or do we stand with the comments of the governor of Virginia over the last 2 days? Tonight, I'm beginning what's known as the Rule 14 process. It's an expedited procedure for floor consideration of my legislation, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. And in addition, I want to announce that on Monday night, I'm going to be sure that every senator has the opportunity to come to the floor and say who we stand for and what we stand against. And so I want to announce that in addition to the Rule 14 process that I'm going to initiate just here in a moment, I also want senators to be aware that on Monday evening, I'm going to be asking unanimous consent for senators to come to the floor and pass an Abortion Survivors Protection Act, an Abortion Survivors Born Alive piece of legislation. I'm going to ask all 100 senators to come to the floor and be against infanticide. This shouldn't be complicated. Therefore, Mr. President, I understand that there is a bill at the desk, and I ask for its first reading.
It cannot be overstated how important what Senator Sass is doing is. We cannot miss this moment. Pro-life people aren't just anti-abortion. They're pro-woman, pro-science, and pro-love. They're committed to supporting life in all its forms, including children in foster care, adoptive families, pregnant women, newborns, their mothers, and the unborn. Every life is precious and deserves to be protected. Laws and policies at every level should reflect this fundamental truth, and right now, at the federal level, it does not, because it does not adequately protect children who are born and then can be left to die if they were intended to be terminated through an abortion. And Senator Sass is trying to fix that. He is forcing a vote on his bill, the Abortion Survivors Protection Act, this Monday. And at Nebraska Family Alliance, we stand behind his efforts 100% because we believe that all life is precious, infinitely valuable, and worthy of love and protection. This is our moment. We cannot grow weary. We have to continue steadfast in the truth until all life is cherished and protected. And Senator Sass does a great job of articulating what this is about, what the pro-life movement is about, and what's at stake here. Last week, our executive director at NFA, Karen Bowling, interviewed Senator Sass on the NFA Daily Spotlight program about the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, as well as other pro-life efforts that are currently underway in the United States Senate. Here's what you need to know about those efforts and why they're so important from Senator Sass's conversation on the NFA Daily Spotlight program last week.
Well, you recently reintroduced the Born Alive legislation. Tell our listeners what this legislation involves and why it is important to you.
Thank you. Well, there is so much to be done in the pro-life movement. Most of it, as you know, is about persuading hearts and minds, but some important subset of it is about legislation, and we want that to complement the persuasion of hearts and minds. And so right now, when a baby survives an abortion, there's a practice where sometimes abortion mills just leave her or him out to die on the table in the cold. And we want to make it a requirement that any baby that's alive outside the womb has to receive all the care and treatment that you would give to any other premature baby at that stage of development. And so what the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act that I'm the lead sponsor of does is it makes it a requirement that care would be provided for those precious little babies who are image bearers of God.
And currently, federal law does not adequately protect a born child who survives an abortion. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. And it's just such a tragedy. And I think, you know, even those who think they're for abortion and abortion rights, when they see and hear about this destructive, horrific practice, their hearts are moved. And so we need to protect the individual babies that rarely but sometimes survive an abortion attempt against their life. But we also need to draw the spotlight so people understand what is happening there. And right now, federal law does not provide adequate protection to those little babies. A baby is a baby and needs to be treated and cared for as a vulnerable little baby that needs our protection and love.
Well, I'm also excited. There's a couple other pieces of legislation that you are co-sponsors on. Tell us more about them.
Two of the other big ones, we have kind of three big pieces of pro-life legislation we're pushing right now. Two of the other big ones are the Defund Planned Parenthood Act and the attempt to talk about the Pain-Capable Abortion Prevention Act, so which is kind of called the 20-week abortion ban. I believe that all babies should be protected all the way back to conception. But one of the pieces of legislation is acknowledging that since so many babies in utero now, when they have surgery, they get anesthesia at a certain point. And that's because science tells us that these babies feel pain. And if a baby feels pain, then we need to protect them. And that's true of both babies that were from planned pregnancies and unplanned pregnancies. Those babies are created in God's image and they have dignity. And so I'm happy that on both pieces of this legislation, as well as mine, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, we have a lot of wonderful pro-life leaders in the Senate. This is one of the reasons I ran for office. I've been in this movement my whole life, and I'm happy that people like Joni Ernst from Iowa, James Lankford from Oklahoma, and Lindsey Graham from South Carolina stand shoulder to shoulder with me in trying to advance these major pieces of pro-life legislation.
Senator Sass is exactly right, and we are so grateful for his leadership and efforts to champion this cause. Again, this is such a huge moment for our entire country on this issue, and it's great to see that our own senator is right at the heart of trying to bring about positive change on an issue that so many people across our state care deeply about. So again, stay tuned. This will continue to be big news, as there will be a vote in the United States Senate on Monday for the Abortion Survivors Protection Act. One of the things that we talk about at Nebraska Family Alliance is that whether it's policies written by your local school board member, an ordinance signed by the mayor, policies crafted by your state senator, or laws passed by Congress, public policies affect you. And they not only affect you, but they lay the foundation for the future of our children and our grandchildren. That's why NFA is committed to influencing policy, mobilizing prayer, and empowering people so that Nebraska might be a state where marriages and families thrive, life is cherished, and religious freedom is celebrated. So we want to encourage you to stand with us as we stand for life, freedom, and family in Nebraska. We have lots of great resources that are free to keep people informed and engaged on the issues. You can find all of them at our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Sign up for our e-network, like us on Facebook, and join the Capital link and get the most urgent prayer requests sent straight to your phone. Because we understand that not everyone can make it down to the state capitol every day or to be there to pray in the unicameral balcony during debates or during committee hearings. But we all can take time to pray right where we are. That's why we started Capital Link, which is NFA's texting network. We'll text you our most urgent prayer requests when critical votes are being taken, when we're testifying before legislative committees, or when we need people to take action and contact their elected representatives. You can be praying with us when we need it the most. Text Pray NFA to 402-979-7729. That's text Pray NFA to 402-979-7729. We'll be back next week with more information and updates to connect you to the Capitol on the issues that matter most. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capitol Connection.